You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts that she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and words to work for you and to bring about a life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious and grateful host, and today I am broadcasting live with just a little touch of southern and fall flavor from magnificent Atlanta, Georgia. Guess what? I'm so grateful that you've joined me from all over the globe. Got to give a special shout out to all of my listeners in Jamaica and the Bahamas, Virgin Islands. Thank you so much for being a faithful listener. Guess what? If you're listening to this show, I can truly say your life won't ever be the same again after listening to this show, because boy, do I have a very special guest for you, and I'll tell you about him later. Well, how you doing? I hope that you're having a great day. It is simply beautiful. My favorite time of the year. Fall is here. It's getting really, really cool in the evenings, and you guys know I just love it, and I'm so grateful for it. Well, my very special guest today, I got that out, is Jim Palmer, and he has 30 years in business, and he's going to be teaching about how to start your dream business. How many people are interested in that? So I want you to stay tuned. Let's see here. I received a wonderful email from a lady. She did not leave her name, thanking me for my show. She is a sheep herder. That's right. She leads, tends to, feeds, and herds sheep. And she says that every, I think Monday, my show is downloaded to her iPhone. And she says, as I am herding the sheep, you are nourishing my soul. I mean, I almost cried when I heard that. So powerful. And just want to tell this particular listener, thank you so much for your email. It really just encouraged me and motivated me. And it is an honor to serve. And so on that note, if this show is, I'm going to change that if to, I know this show is nourishing and really changing your life. And so I would love to give you the opportunity to make a donation. So of course you can go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com and just click on the donate button. And I'm thanking you in advance for your gift. And then lastly, visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and I have all kinds of products there for you, designed with you in mind. And last week, I talked a little bit about affirmations, and I have some powerful I am affirmations: success, prosperity, self-love, and attracting love. And so what you do is you purchase them, and I'm going to give you the direction of using them for 21 days. So by using, you're listening, you're speaking, you're muttering what you hear. And then after the second round of 21 days, you'll begin to develop new neurological pathways in your brain. And then after the third round of 21 days, it will be who you are. So if you're ready for change, and if you're ready to go inside, I feel that affirmations are really one way to begin to shift and make that transformation. Well, let's go to these quick commercials, and then I'm going to be right back with my very special guest, Jim Palmer. But before I do, you know that I've got to say, guess what? Today is the best day of my life, and 2016 is the best year of my life. Stay tuned.
Do you have an upcoming event where you need a dynamic speaker? Constance Arnold is a sought-after keynote speaker that will enlighten the entire audience with proven strategies that are aligned with your organization's vision and mission. an experienced speaker for major Fortune 500 companies, Constance has entertained audiences with inspiring change. Constance would love to make your next event an extraordinary success. Contact her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
For the past 30 years, Constance Arnold has coached clients globally in the areas of relationships, wealth, and career. Her vast clinical background gives her extraordinary understanding of human behavior to accelerate manifestation. Every coaching client receives proven action plans to create change from the inside out. Constance will be right by your side. Talk to her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Well, I'm back and I'm really excited about my very special guest today, my guest, and I'm going to read his short bio because he deserves it. It's Mr. Jim Palmer, and Jim is a marketing and business building expert and in-demand coach. He's the founder of the Dream Business University and Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program. He's the host of Dream Business TV. He sounds busy, right? It's a weekly web TV show watched by thousands of entrepreneurs and small business owners. And he's also the host of Stick Like Glue Radio, a weekly podcast based on his own unique brand of smart marketing and business strategies. He is internationally known as the Newsletter Guru, and he'll tell you a little bit more about that. And he has written so many books, but here are just a few. You ready? The Magic Book, Stick Like Glue Book, Scared Book, Higher Profit Book, Stop Waiting Book, Decide Book, and he has a new book out, which is Decide Book, The Ultimate Success Trigger. And he has been seen on so many television and other media outlets, but just to name a few in my wonderful city, CBS Atlanta, Philly, Wall Street Select, Money Show, Hawaii News Now, Fox News, and Yahoo Finance. And I wanted to read that because he has been in the business for years, and he deserves the honor. So, Jim Palmer, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Well, thank you. I must feel embarrassed hearing that introduction. Good thing we're not on video.
Right. Well, Jim, this is our second rodeo, and Jim and I, we recorded before, but there was something interesting that happened to the file. So this is our second time talking, and I'm really excited about it.
Second time's a charm, Constance.
Yes. So let's get started. Tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and your journey, and then we're going to talk about how people can really begin to build a dream business.
So I'm celebrating 15 years as an entrepreneur.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And, 15 years ago, I was my career position as a VP of marketing for this company was eliminated. And so I suddenly found myself out of work. And that turned into 15 months of pretty devastating unemployment financially. And it kind of wrecked my confidence and self-esteem. And just for good measure, I also had cancer 12 months into my unemployment. Mm. So I found myself at a pretty low point. And in August of 2001 is when I had my late August had my surgery. And then I was laying around on September 11th, 2001, recovering. And that's when the planes hit the towers. And I actually had a job offer at that point, but that went away with September 11th. And so I was just at a really, really, really dark place. And I basically got off the couch and got on my knees and prayed for guidance and wisdom. And the Lord told me to start a business. And I'm like, really? I have no money. I have no money and I'm in debt. I'm starting a business. And yes, start a business. So that's where we started. And you know, my first business was a newsletter company where I was producing newsletters for different organizations and chambers and nonprofits, associations. 5 years into it, Constance, I had a multiple six-figure business, but I had no life. So I was making money again, but I was doing everything for that business, you know, typical of small business owners, you do it all. Mm-hmm. And, And I decided I couldn't keep growing, and I certainly didn't want to have that be the lifestyle. And so I started learning about internet marketing, direct response marketing, and leverage. And I launched my first internet company in I think it was 2008. And then I launched four more after that. And in 2009, I started the Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program. And 3 years ago, I started doing a Dream Business Academy, which is a live event where I teach people how to grow a dream business.
Wow. So what is a dream business? And do you believe that all of us are called to be in business?
I don't actually believe all of us are called to be in business. You know, when you become an entrepreneur or a small business owner, it is a very tough road to hoe, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, really 80% of small businesses fail within the first 5 years. So, I mean, that's just a common statistic. Now, if you were to do a little bit of a postmortem on those failures, if you will, most of them will say they ran out of money. And I think, Constance, that may be true, but if you peel the onion back a little bit, I think they ran out of courage and therefore ran out of money. You know, there's so many things that go into making a successful business. I sometimes talk about being averse to risk is a really dangerous mindset. If you're a business owner, I mean, the fact that you started a business is risky. You walked away from a paycheck and, you know, vacation and insurance. And so the fact that you started a business is risky. Now, how fast you grow actually has a lot to do with how much you're willing to risk, how much skin you're willing to put in the game. Do you believe in your business model so much that nothing's going to stop you? And one of the examples I sometimes talk about is Fred Smith when he started Federal Express, Constance. Now, here's a guy who wrote a paper on this overnight delivery system in college. He got a C. And then when he started in the late 70s, I don't know if you remember this. I think you're younger than I am. He wrote.
No comment.
I know. There was the Iran oil embargo. There was a double-digit unemployment, double-digit interest rates, and all kinds of just madness in the economy. And Fred didn't just say, you know, let me test out this overnight delivery system regionally. He lived in Tennessee, so he's going to try Tennessee, Kentucky, and Arkansas. Well, he didn't do that. He believed in his business model so much that he invested in multiple DC-9 jets, a pilot, co-pilot in each crew, ground crew for delivery, everything that goes with it. He lost millions of dollars. He not only his money, investors' money, millions and millions, and then it caught hold. And it's one of the major success stories of our country today. And so a lot of people, they don't have the chutzpah, courage, or whatever. Yeah. To do that very often. I mean, when I started my business, my first 12 months was revenue free, as I like to call it, and which means it took me a whole year to get my first client. Now, I had to keep borrowing to keep my family afloat and things like that. So you say, is everybody called to that? I don't think so. I think there are people who are called to be business owners, and there's people who are called to be worker bees.
And so for someone who's been thinking about, or they feel that this idea, concept, service that that God has really dropped that down into their spirit, what are some basic principles that people can employ who in order to really manifest a dream business?
First of all, I would ask them to think about how many hours a week they're willing to put into growing their business, how many days a week, and for how long, how many years are they willing to do that? If you've got young children at home, it's going to be quite a burden. And, you know, realistically, your business is a child. A friend of mine used to say your business is the mistress your spouse says yes to, because you spend more time with your business than you do, you know, sometimes with your spouse or your family. But that really is the nature of starting and growing a successful business. You have to be willing to do that, because the demands are very high. So I would consider that. I would consider how much you think it's going to take to get yourself going, and probably double it. So many successful business owners that I've talked to said, if I only knew what I now, if I knew it then, I probably wouldn't have started. So, mm-hmm. I mean, but you know, you asked me what a dream business is. To me, a dream business is one, first of all, it's fun to operate. It's always kind of firing on all cylinders, so to speak. I teach people how to have multiple streams of revenue. Dream business allows you to give back and make a difference in the lives of others. And I think another important characteristic of a dream business, it becomes an asset that you can sell and therefore retire very comfortably.
So what kind of mindset, you know, and as you were talking, I was thinking, wow, even though you have a dream business, what's happening to the individual is that they are transformed on the inside out, from the inside out. So what kind of mindset or head trash do people need to, number one, identify and possibly shift and change?
Oh, head trash. I think you've been reading my book, Decide.
I have been reading your book.
Yep. So I talk about head trash. I talk about things like 3 a.m. holy crap moments. So a 3 a.m. holy crap moments, you're laying in bed, it's dark, you're looking up at the ceiling, and you're saying to yourself at 3 o'clock in the morning, holy crap, I own this business, I haven't been paid in months, holy crap, I haven't had a new client in months, holy crap, my payroll's due, my taxes are due, my rent is due, and you're wondering like what is going on. And what I tell people is at that point you need to get out of bed, go to the mirror in the bathroom and look in it, like actually make eye contact, which oddly is a pretty uncomfortable thing to do with yourself. But you look in the mirror and you go, why are you holding me back? When are you going to stop being the impediment to my growth? Because yeah, are there some new ideas, new marketing, new branding, new positioning? Absolutely. But for the most part, there are things that business owners should be doing that they're not doing. And part of the mindset trap is most people that start a business seldom do it right out of school. In other words, most people have some sort of a job for some period of time and then they become an entrepreneur. Well, when you suddenly become the business owner, you're the boss, you're the king, you're the queen, whatever you want to say. And if you didn't want to, for example, do something that you thought might help your business, you don't have to do it because nobody's going to call you down the hall into the corner office and chew you out. It's your decision. That's why we become entrepreneurs in some part, because we want to have the autonomy, right? Now, in my own case, and I share a lot of this in my book, Decide, there were several things that I could see my peers doing, people that were having coaching programs and becoming very successful. And there were some things that I didn't want to do. I wasn't a fan of public speaking. I didn't want to put on my own live events because, first of all, it's a lot of money. And what if nobody comes? What if everybody comes and you stink? I mean, yeah. That's head trash. That's head trash. And I got some advice one time from a pretty successful multi-million dollar coach. And he said, Jim, let me ask you something. And what makes you think that you deserve to achieve the same level of success as these peers and other people in your group, yet you're not willing to do the same things they're doing that brought them that level of success? And that was a really, I won't use the phrase I sometimes say, but it was a face slap moment. And it was very telling. And soon after, about a year after that meeting, I did have my first event. I've sold out five or six, I've lost count, Dream Business Academies. I've written 6 books in 6 years. I have no trouble getting on a stage in front of hundreds of people and giving a talk. So there's a lot of things that I have overcome, and that really speaks to the mindset. There are things that you have to. Money mindset's another big one, Constance.
Expound on that.
So a lot of people, they come, whether they're whether they had a childhood where it was struggling, some people call it the top of the stairs talk. And that's where if you're a kid and you're sitting on the top stair and you can hear your parents downstairs talking about they're broke, I don't know where we're going to get money for vacation. Hey, can you know, we don't have money for the electric bill. And so this mindset of there's always lack. And when you are a business owner and you want to attract larger sums of money, you have to not live in a mindset of lack. You have to live in a mindset of abundance. And so there's many layers to fixing your money mindset. When I started having some success and money started coming in faster, I had a large amount of debt. And so as I started paying down my debt, my goal was to become like, I want to be debt free. So after I'd pay my bills, I'd look whatever else was in the checkbook and I'd pay off this credit card, that credit card, or, you know, just keep paying them down because I wanted to be debt free. And about 6 months later, I work with a very, one of the best mindset coaches in the business. And she said, what's going on? I know you're growing, you're doing really well, but you don't seem real happy. And I said, I don't know why. And we started talking about it. And she actually deduced, I guess, that I have this thing. I usually pay bills on Friday. You know what I mean? So it's like I'd pay bills Friday afternoon kind of before I'm done. And then I'd go into the weekend with no money in my checking account. Now, I fully know there's going to be money coming in next week. But I'd kind of go through the weekend with not a zero balance, but I'd take it down to a couple $100s because my goal, Constance, was to be paying off all my credit cards. And she said, you can't do that. You are way outside your comfort zone. And she goes, what amount of money would you feel comfortable with? And to use my language, said, going into the weekend, what would be like, wow, that feels good. And I just said $10,000. And if I pay all my bills and I still have $10,000 in the checking account, I'd feel really successful because that's a lot of money that I certainly wasn't used to most of my life. And so whenever as I was growing, if I paid all my bills and I had $15,000, I'd send $5 to a credit card and I'd keep 10. If I had 18, I'd pay 8. If I had 11, I'd pay 1. But I always had $10,000 at the end of the week. And suddenly when I was looking in my checkbook or I'd get on my online balance and I'd see like $10,000, I'm like, dang, I'm doing good. And it's a very simple thing. And she said, would it really matter if you become debt-free by the end of this year or 6 months into next year? And I said, really, it doesn't make a hill of beans. But she said, it's going to make so much difference in your attitude and how you're thinking about, well, should I maybe market a little more? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go to a seminar? Whatever it is, when you are living in a state of lack, it really affects how much you're able to do things which are going to grow your business.
You know, that's so powerful. And you've mentioned twice that somebody shared with you. What's your take on listeners being in a mastermind, being coached or mentored in business?
It is 100% non-negotiable.
For sure.
If you are not, you need to be in one seriously. And, you know, I don't know if it's a sign of just the times or how the job market is, and therefore people hang out their shingle as a coach or consultant. But there are so many people out there that are either life coaches or business coaches, and you know, you look at their websites, and yeah, we help people create million-dollar businesses, but they've never done it for themselves. Mm-hmm. That's something that I think is I'll be just very kind and say that's not very congruent. Okay,
I think
if you're going to work with a coach, make sure they have actually done for themselves what they are coaching you to do.
That's nothing but the truth. And even being a part of a mastermind, it's just something about coming together. The Bible calls it two coming into agreement, that two are better than one, that when you're in a mastermind group or being coached or mentored, it's like these ideas come to you and you're like, why didn't I think of that?
And that's true. And I will give full credit to several of my businesses or programs that came from other people. And people say, hey, Jim, have you ever thought about this? And I'm like, well, no. And it's like, because we're all so close to our own business. And, you know, it's really, I just had one of my monthly group calls yesterday, as a matter of fact, and they're not all rah-rah, hey, look how great we're doing. One person, a woman, came to the group and shared in a very, very vulnerable way things are not going well in her personal life and got some real challenges. And all these people on our group call, Constance, just rallied around her, you know, virtually, mm-hmm. virtual hug, virtual love, and just supported her. It was just, that's why you're in a group. You know, some people say being an entrepreneur is the loneliest job on the planet because you, in large degree, you operate by yourself. There's nobody, there's very few people at the top that you can go to and talk to, not only about the challenges, but about the good things. And I make sure in our group that we celebrate the successes, because a lot of times, even if you're an entrepreneur and maybe your spouse is not, it's really hard sometimes when your spouse comes home from a day at the job. You know, and most jobs aren't real, real great, but let's say they're just not feeling good about, you know, working for the man or whatever that looks like. And so they're kind of not in a good mood. And you say, oh man, I killed it today. Oh, we did this, we did that. You know, you need a safe place where you can, again, both get some support and also a safe place to share your successes with people who understand.
You know, and I so relate to that because I struggled with that balance for years. And so I had to deliberately and intentionally make sure that I was around people who sharpened me, who I could bounce ideas off of. For example, this week I just had a 2-hour session with my mentor. And of course, I'm taking copious notes and I'm like, why didn't I think of that? And it's just something powerful about that. I want to really get that out there to listeners, because so many people are just independent thinkers and they are an island unto themselves, and in business and in life, that just does not work.
You know, there's Ronald Reagan had a quote on his desk. It wasn't his. I think it might have been Winston Churchill's. I don't recall, but it said, "It's amazing how much you can do when you don't care who gets the credit." Something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, it's the same thing. What I always tell people, because I'm kind of an idea guy, so I was like, "Hey, you should do this. You should do that." And they're like, "Wow!" So I said, "It doesn't matter where the idea came from. The whole thing is, are you going to take this idea and run with it?" Because the flip side of that is either not taking it, or what a lot of people do, and I don't know where this comes from, some deep-seated feelings of something, but they take the idea and they change it so they can make it their own instead of running with something that's been proven. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
I used to say, listen, don't feel the need to put your stink on it. Just take it and run with it. I don't want credit. You don't have to say where the idea came from. It's a gift. Go ahead and use it.
Well, you know, I know in your book, Decide, you talk about decide to emulate successful entrepreneurs. Why is that important? And expound on that for me.
Well, I guess if you're going to emulate somebody, you might as well emulate success, unless you want to crash and burn. And, you know, the late, great Jim Rohn said, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So think about that. If you're a business owner and you're maybe you're doing well or just average, but on the weekends and things like that, you hang with your buds or people you went to school with or whatever, but they're complaining about, oh man, I haven't had a raise in a year. Yeah, I just got 50 cents or blah. And anyway, they're just negative Nelly, so to speak. It's, you are going to feed off of that, right? So you need to be very careful of who you spend time with. You need to be protective of your success mindset. So if you spend a lot of time with people who are doing really well, that's why when I joined a mastermind group myself about 5 years ago, it was a high-level group, and there's some very successful people in there. I actually felt I have no way to prove or disprove. I thought I was the dumbest one there or the least successful. Let me not be too harsh. But I thought, but if I'm going to – why would I want to be in a group where I'm the smartest person, right? So I those people lift me up. They inspire me. They challenge me. They hold me accountable. You know, there's an expression I use constantly. I say, we're all playing on the main stage. This is not a dress rehearsal, and eventually the curtain will come down. So stop wasting time and stop waiting for it to get easier.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, speaking of waiting for it to get easier, so what would you say to someone who's, they've been thinking about a business, but now is not the right time? So it never gets easier, right, Jim?
It never gets easier. And by the way, the world, technology, everything is changing so rapidly. You know, 2 years ago, there's a company, it's kind of a piece of software. They're called Meerkat, or it's basically live streaming video. And everybody was like, oh, this is the greatest thing. This is going to take the world by storm, blah, blah, blah. Well, next thing you know, there was another kind of a copycat. And then now today, Facebook, Meerkat is gone. So if you were thinking, I got a platform for live streaming video on the internet, and you wait, well, guess what? If you wait 6 months or 12 months, it's history. And you know, imagine if your business was reliant on fax broadcasting as a way to market your business. Well, all of a sudden, fax machines are gone, and you know, there's actually a law, you can't be broadcast faxing without permission. So that was going away. So, you know, it's never, I tell you this, it's never going to feel right. I have an expression that I talk about in the book, Decide. It's called, don't be a when-I, W-H-E-N-I, when-I. Mm-hmm. A when-I is somebody says, you know, I'm going to spend more money marketing my business when-I. I'm going to hire a coach when-I. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z when-I. In other words, you're always moving the goalpost. And in reality, only those people who step up, invest in themselves, put themselves out there, risk a little bit more, those are the people who are usually growing.
So true. You know, and you also talk about decide to roll with it. What do you mean by that? Does that mean just going forward or just staying with it no matter what it looks like?
What was the chapter you're referring to?
Decide to roll with it.
Oh, yeah. Because crap happens, right? There are things that go wrong. And, you know, if you get upset and you bemoan and you wonder why and you try and figure it out instead of just moving forward, you know, there's an expression, you can't learn how to ride a bike standing still because you tip over. It's the same thing in business. You've got to be moving forward. Very, very successful businesses thrive on momentum. And so anything that affects the momentum, such as indecision, you know, in the book Decide, I talk about highly successful people have an ability to recognize a challenge or to recognize an opportunity and quickly decide, yes, it's good, or no, it's not, but they don't go with the third option, which a lot of people do, which is maybe, let me think about it, I'll put it on the back burner. All of that leads to a place I call Squishyville. Nothing happens in Squishyville. So yes or no, and by the way, I think your ability to make good decisions, it's very much like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it will be. So whether you call your gut, your intuition, spirit, whatever, the more you rely on that, I think the better decisions you'll make. And listen, not every decision is going to work out, but if you've got a growing, thriving business, you can absorb an occasional wrong decision. And they're seldom life-threatening or business-threatening. You can usually do some adjustment or tweaking as you roll along and go forward. But as I say, the ability to make fast decisions is paramount, because the opposite of that is indecision, and indecision is a business killer.
So, Jim, how did you bounce back from, you know, being sick and, you know, lying there on your couch and not having any money for a year? What was it that was in you that kept you going? And for listeners, how can they keep moving in spite of sometimes their physical circumstances just seemingly might be overwhelming?
Well, for me, I mean, it was the Holy Spirit. You know, mm-hmm. I prayed for guidance. I prayed for wisdom. I think through most of that previous year, I wasn't a big prayer, but I was like, hey, can you help me find a job? You know, I need a job. God, please let me know where jobs are, something like that. But this was a different prayer because I felt like I hit rock bottom. And I said, what is it you want me to do? And that's when I was told to start a business. And so it was interesting because literally an hour before I heard that message, I was an unemployed loser in my own head. I mean, boy, what a horrible mess I'd made of my life. And suddenly, I was a business owner. I had no revenue, but I owned a bit. I was president of my own company, you know, and it felt good. It felt exciting. And that whole first year, Constance, people ask, well, how'd you get through that? And it's like, believe me, it was no fun. And I didn't have a smile on my face going, yeah, it's going to work. It's going to work. I was doing everything that I knew to do, knocking on doors, going to networking events, cold calling, doing everything I could to start my business. And as I look back on it now, it was all the right things because I was what's called planting seeds. I was preparing the field. I was planting seeds. And through diligent follow-up, that's called, you know, nurturing the seed. And eventually, if you want to have a harvest, you plant enough seeds. So that's what I was doing. But every time I'd start to feel myself slipping into a low point during that first year, I would think to myself, God is testing me. And he's saying, how badly do you want this? And what makes you think it's going to be easy? And if it was easy, you know, we'd have a lot more successful people than we do now. The fact of the matter is, you know, sometimes we talk, whether it's in terms of business owners or society in general, especially during election time, you hear about the top 1%. Well, the top 1%, by and large, I'm sure there's a few exceptions, by and large, the top 1% are people who are willing to do things that other people are not willing to do in order to create a better life for themselves, right? So the people who are highly successful, most of them are business owners, and they are people who risk. They risk their money, they risk their time, they risk their reputation, and a lot of their house sometimes. Mm-hmm. And not everybody is cut out to do that. That's okay. But, you know, when you see people who are successful, what you're seeing is the finished product. You're not seeing the hours and hours and years and tears and money invested and failure along the way. Everybody has failure along the way. So people should keep in mind when you see people are successful, you just don't see all the time and effort that went into that.
I love it, Jim, when you said you did everything that you knew to do. You went to networking groups, so you were just not sitting around visualizing and meditating. You were actually taking action, even though your circumstances outwardly had not changed.
Right. You know, the great book, Think and Grow Rich. I think it should be Think, Act, and Grow Rich, because, you know, some people feel you can go sit under a tree in lotus position, open, extend your arms, and money will just fall out of the tree because you got the right thought pattern. That doesn't happen. You know, successful businesses are based on solving problems for people. If you provide immense value in the marketplace and you market it correctly, you're going to do okay. If you do sit back and wait for it, and, you know, everything happens, every message you hear, everything happens for a reason. I remember there was the, there was a church service during that year, and, the pastor actually told a joke. He said, listen, there was a guy, an older gentleman, and he played the lottery. Every week he picked the lottery numbers, and he would say a prayer and say, God, could I please hit the lottery? I really need it. And he did this for like months and months and months. And finally, he heard a message when he prayed this again, and God said, could you meet me halfway and buy a lottery ticket?
Oh my God, this is so funny.
So, you know, we all have to do our part. I mean, I think God's in control. He's moving everything around, but we have to go out there and do our part. I also know that God appreciates, expects, and rewards hard work. When I was struggling during that first year, I went and got a job at the local Target. Now, here I was, a six-figure executive, pre-unemployment. And I went and got a job stocking shelves at Target. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to work. I don't know if that's a third or fourth shift, but, and I'd work at 4 a.m. and I would get out of work at about 11 o'clock. And then I'd, you know, come home, have a quick bite to eat, put my big boy clothes on and go sell my business. And I did that for a year. And as I started then to get clients, I would cut my hours back until there was a point where Target said, we can't cut your hours anymore. You either want to work here or you don't. And I had to leave before my business was technically providing me the same income. But again, there's another, I had to decide, do I want my business to be successful or do I want to stay putting Tide on the shelves at Target, you know? But, and the reason I tell you that story is I wasn't just sitting back waiting for my business. Sometimes we have to do things. We have to show we're willing to do whatever it takes. I mean, I had four kids at home, so I think on average I was bringing in about $300 a week at Target, which provided for a lot of food and, you know, helped out with the other expenses. And so, you know, I think people need, they need to be able to work and work hard to show that they're deserving of the success.
Well, you know, that whole work hard sentence, a phrase, I'm so glad you say that, because I think with TV and reality TV and overnight success, that the whole work hard and taking action, many times people don't really comprehend that, and they're just sort of looking for the easy way to be successful. I don't know an easy way.
You know, I have a, I have an expression. I actually, at my live events, which I know you're going to see, I have several. I have several posters on the wall I bring with me. One of my phrases is "Stay focused, kick all distractions to the curb, and sleep a little less if you have to." And, you know, I don't do it quite so much today, but when I was really starting to grow the multiple online businesses, there was one example when I had an idea for a company, which is now No Hassle Social Media. And from, I think, mid-October through end of February, I was literally getting up at like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, because I already had a pretty full day anyway, but I knew I needed to write copy, build. I had to do tons and tons of work to be able to launch it. And so literally for November, December, January, February, March, for about 4 to 5 months, I was running on like 4 to 5 hours of sleep. I know it's not healthy. Everybody's, oh, Jim, you need your sleep. Yes, I know. But that's what I was doing. I would get up, and I remember over the winter, you know, I live in Pennsylvania, so I'm like, we keep our house chilly at night, but I'm putting on my sweatpants, a sweatshirt. I'm just quietly, you know, getting out of bed so I don't disturb my wife. I'm going into my office, shutting the door, and I'm cranking work until 7 o'clock, you know, for a good 3 to 4 hours before I started my quote unquote regular job, running the other stuff and doing the coaching and stuff. And so I did that. Now, the business I have today, No Hassle Social Media, I have a couple of VAs that run it. I almost don't spend any time on it. It kind of runs on autopilot. But this is a, you know what, this is a classic example, Constance, of what I said about you don't see. So if somebody said, well, you know, tell me about No Hassle Social Media, and I tell them about the business, and we have members all over the country, and I literally don't spend 5 minutes on it a month. I've put a staff in place that just runs on. Oh, that must be nice. Sometimes you hear that. Oh, it must be nice. Well, you wouldn't have said it would must be nice when I'm getting out of bed at 3:30 in the morning and the house is 58 degrees.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, because that's very, very powerful and a powerful success principle. And that really made me think about you have an audio series on Serve First, because most people say, look, I want to start a business. I want to start my dream business because I want freedom and money. And seemingly sometimes people are after money. I want to be rich. I want the big house. And there's nothing wrong with that. So why do you say Serve First, and how did that come about in your life?
So when a couple of years into my business, you know, I was at that point in my life, the quick phrase, I was on fire for the Lord, and I wanted to find some ways to get involved. Anyway, there was this organization called the Christian Chamber of Commerce. It was about an hour from my house, so I went over there and checked it out. I became friendly with the director, and I started getting involved, and there was one point where she said, Jim, you know, with your experience, could you lead a small group, teach people how to do networking and teach them how to, if they're exhibiting at trade shows? And to me, it's like, it meant getting up super early, because if I wanted to get over to New Jersey, I had to get up before the commuter traffic. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would take me like twice as long. So long story short, you know, I'd leave the house around 5:30, 6 o'clock. I'd be over there by 7. And we'd do a couple hours of training, and then I'd come back and be at my office by, you know, 11 or noon. And I didn't mind doing that, but on the third or fourth day I was doing, I'm like, oh, this is getting old. And and here I am, you know, I'm still struggling, and I should be out there making sales calls, and here I am driving all this way. I'm doing this for totally free, which my mindset was starting to go off the track there. And one of the days I was driving back on the highway and kind of bemoaning all this time I'm putting in, my cell phone rang, and I picked it up, and back in the day it was probably about 2 pounds, you know, and I picked up my cell phone, and it was a prospect that I'd been talking to. He said, hey, Jim, I'm glad I caught you. We really talked about this. We want to get going. And when can you start with us? And I hung up the phone, and I promised, I took my eyes off the road for just a second. I looked up and I said, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. And that was an example. That was one of the first examples of where you have to serve others first before God will serve you. And I really started learning about tithing, giving, you know, not only financially, but also giving of your time. So I'll fast forward. When I wrote that, I wrote, it was an audio book, and then I had it transcribed versus writing a book and then speaking it out. And after I did Dream Business Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, which was a year ago, actually, I had a very successful event. My second grandchild had been born like 30 days before. Things were going really, really well in every aspect of my life. I was still healthy, cancer-free. Anyway, after I do my event, it's a huge undertaking, put on an event, and it's very emotionally draining. And so I always go for 2 or 3 days, and I go sit on my boat kind of by myself, and I just kind of decompress. And I'm sitting on my boat, Constance, and I'm like thinking of how blessed I am, and we just signed up a bunch of new clients. It was just really good. And I felt like, why am I so blessed? Because I meet people, not only, you know, what I do for a living, but also, you know, Stephanie and I, we volunteer at different things. I'm like, how come we're so blessed? And really over the course of the next day, God kept having me think about things that we do, people that we help anonymously and otherwise, things that we're involved in financially and time-wise, and just all these different things that we've been doing that, because of our mindset and how the Holy Spirit's working within us, we're doing them. And it's no big deal. Like, we don't think, wow, look what we just did, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, well, why am I thinking about this? And why am I thinking of Walter? And why am I thinking of this? And it suddenly dawned on me that it was almost like your life flashes before your eyes type of thing. God is showing me all the reasons why he is blessing us. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. Listen, sometimes we want to know why something is the way it is, and we don't get to know, but I felt really grateful that I got to know. But and then God started waking me up in the middle of the night and saying, now you got to share this story. I need you to share this story. And I resisted because I'm like, I'm a business coach. I'm very open about being a Christian, but I'm not a Christian business coach. I'm not leading, you know, all my talks with prayer and stuff like that. That's just not who I am, right? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, well, God, that's really, if I'm going to start putting all this personal, this is a very personal part of my life out there. It's, I don't know. And he just wouldn't let me go. And so he actually had to beat me up for about 6 months. And he said, listen, I know you're not going to take time and write this book, so just do an audio book. And so that's what I did. I basically, there's no script. I wrote down a couple notes so I wouldn't forget some key elements I wanted to share. And I kind of, my home studio here, I got in front of a microphone and I recorded. It's about 43 minutes. And I told my story about how we discovered the power of serving first. Because the flip side of that, which we've already talked about, Constance, is a when I. So some people say, you know, I'm going to learn to give, or I'm going to give more than $20 every Sunday. I'll give more when I achieve so much. Mm-hmm. I'll do this when I get enough success, then I'll, you know, maybe donate some of my time. When I. And it is very much a leap of faith, which faith is the big word there. Faith is, you know, having faith in something you can't see. And so that's the scary part. And so anyway, I give it for free. When I did it and I transcribed it, created artwork for it, I then said, well, what should I do with it? Should I sell it? Should I sell it for a dollar? Should I give all the money to charity? No, don't sell it. Just give it away. I kept hearing, I want this in as many hands as possible. And so I thought, well, I know enough. I'll just have my team put it on the website. And do I have an opt-in? Do I at least, you know, so I can thank people? No opt-in, no nothing. Just put it out there and leave it up to me. And so I did that. The only thing I know from, you know, analytics is I know over 10,000 people have visited that page, but I don't know how many actually downloaded it and then how many listened to it. But that's the only figure I know. And so it's totally free, no opt-in. I'll never know you downloaded it, but I'll tell you, it's a very, very powerful message.
And you can give that that information in a couple of minutes, Jim. And I wanted you to share that because I wanted listeners to hear the power of serving first with time, money, energy, etc. And I just think, just from my own personal life, that to me, serving and giving has radically changed my business, my personal life, every aspect of my being. And I always say to people, I said, you know, they say, oh, you have all these millions of listeners. And I always say, but really, my life is the one that's been enriched. And so I would just want to say to listeners, take a look at your life and take a look at what you have and begin to serve first and begin to give time, money, or both of them, and watch the miraculous happen in your life.
You know, there is a, there's a piece of scripture in the Bible. It's Malachi, I believe it's 3:10. I could be wrong there. Mm-hmm. But basically, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Now, this is the interesting part, which really got me, Constance, because I'm not a scholar of the Bible by the longest stretch of the imagination, but I think this is one of the only places, if not the only place, where God actually speaks to you and says, test me. In other words, I dare you. He goes, test me in this. In other words, bring a tithe into the storehouse and test me on this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to share it or to store it. And when I read that, I'm like, wow. So God's actually saying, go ahead, test me. And it was some of that. And there was some other information. I won't give the whole thing away. And that's what caused me to start going from, you know, thinking it was a really big deal to put $20 in the offering plate to doing substantially more than that. And, you know, there is an expression that is actually the director of the Christian Chamber said, Jim, she goes, Jim, you can never outgive God. And that's why I just kept growing and growing and growing. And some points, you know, my business in one of the years took about a 2 or 3 month dip. And I'm like, whoa, all right, should I slow down? And I said, no, I'll keep going, see what happens. Well, sure enough, a couple months later, boom, we took off again. So I think I was being tested.
You know, and I had a lady on my show, Edwin Gaines, and she wrote the four prosperity laws, or the four laws of prosperity. And one of the main emphasis, and even Catherine Ponder was her mentor. And one thing that she talked about was giving and tithing. And I'm certainly not trying to force anything on anyone, but I'm just saying, even in Think and Grow Rich with Napoleon Hill, one of the principles that he shared was the power of giving. Mm-hmm. And so this whole serve first strategy is so awesome. And I believe that it can really begin to change the lives of people all over the world.
That's, you know, that's gonna, now who of us think we have the ability to impact the planet? I certainly don't. That's where I struggled. And I think that's why God said, just record this message. I've mm-hmm. given you an audience over these last 15 years. There's a certain number of people who listen to you and follow you. And he says, just get this message out there and I'll do the rest. And that's, so it's fun to know. And maybe someday I'll be able to find out or ask or whatever. But, you know, basically all you need to do is serve first. Don't wait to become successful enough to serve. Start serving first and watch God take care of you.
Yeah. So, Jim, what does it feel like to be rich, successful, healthy, good looking? What else? You know, happily married, a grandfather. What does that feel like?
Blessed and highly favored, I think, is a good expression. Mm-hmm. Yep, it feels wonderful. And I don't take it for granted because I have lived the other side of the track, so to speak. And I know everything I have, including every idea I have, comes from God.
Do you pray for ideas?
I do. You know, maybe not so much for ideas. I pray for wisdom and mm-hmm. guidance. You know, it's one thing I think it's one of my gifts that he's blessed me with is a very creative mind. So it's I've never had a dry spell where I don't know what to do or what the next idea might be. Mm-hmm. But I pray for wisdom because honestly, I have too many ideas. I can't do them all. So I kind of want to know what's the next best thing I should do.
So do you like sit down and like meditate and be quiet and then ideas come to you? I know Dr. Martin Luther King, he would take time and just sit in silence. And that's when things would come to him. So how do you receive your downloads or your revelations in business?
In two different places, so to speak. The first mm-hmm. place is a constant. I've never been able to shake waking up early, even on a weekend or whatever. Even today when I don't get out of bed at 3:30, but I'm usually awake by 4:30 or 5, but I don't get out of bed right away. Mm-hmm. But I lay there. I especially love when it's winter and there's blankets on and you're just kind of cozy. And before I do anything, of course, the house is dead still, dead quiet. And that's when I first, even before getting out of bed, I'll thank the Lord for the day, the gift and blessing that is this day. And then I'll just lay there quietly. And I think that's the, for me, that's the, some people, you know, have trouble in the morning. They wake up late. And so maybe the nighttime is better for them. I happen to be an early morning person. And the other times, I guess, are not in my office, but it's when I'm either driving or walking, sitting on my boat or sitting somewhere where I'm not surrounded by four walls, because there's something very powerful about when you're, I've never honestly had a great idea in my office. And it's true. And, you know, again, I could be walking the dog. Driving is big for me. You know, the ideas flow or just doing something. The two places that I love the most are the beach and the mountains. Mm. And so whether we're in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, sitting on top of a mountain overlooking these, you can see little towns and the white steeples and you, and there's no walls, but there's vastness as far as you can see. And it's like, it's hard to feel, well, first of all, you feel small at that point. And it's hard to feel like there's not limitless opportunity and possibility. And the same thing when I wake up, if, you know, we occasionally go to the beach, and if I wake up early, like every day, and I'll go watch the sunrise, and maybe there's one or two other people on the beach. But if you sit there and you just look out at the ocean, which is, you can't see France, you can't see the other side, you know, it's just like, first of all, God's amazing and how it creates all that. But the other part is, again, it's just so big. People think small, Constance. I think they have small ideas, And so they need, one of the things I teach people is I call it the power of zero. And so if you were, I'll give you an example. If you said, boy, I'd love to get 5 new clients this month. I say, add a zero. What's that mean? Well, it means you should go for 50. Here's the thing. If you said, I need to get 5 clients this month, 5 new clients, your brain knows how to do that. It's going to say, well, we should do a couple mailings. I should do cold calls. I should maybe ask people for referrals. You can come up with some ideas pretty quickly on how to get 5 new clients. But if you are going to get 50, that is so outside of the norm, outside of the realm. Then what you do is you ask yourself, and this is where you're going to tap into your subconscious mind, what do I have to do in order to create 50 new clients this week? And then your subconscious mind will typically feed you, because it's just giant computer that stores every thought, everything you've seen, heard, experienced, et cetera. And you'll start, that's how I actually got into internet marketing. And so it starts going that way. And then what I say, if you have a goal of 50 and you fall woefully short and only get 18 or 20, goodness, you're 3 or 4 times your original goal, you know? Mm-hmm. So add a zero to whatever you're doing.
Wow. So give us your contact information, Jim. Do you have any upcoming events? I know about one that I'm going to be coming to. And how can our listeners get the free copy of Serve First?
Okay. So I'm going to give you 3 URLs, if that's okay.
Okay.
So the event you mentioned is called Dream Business Academy, dreambizacademy.com. Our next event is February 8th, 9th, and 10th in warm Orlando, Florida.
Yay.
It's going to warm. Be our biggest event ever. I'm bringing a lot of my team. I'm bringing the great and legendary Bob Berg, co-author of the Go-Giver series. Good friend of mine is going to speak. Michelle Prince and Melanie Strick and several. It's going to be an amazing event. That's dreambizacademy.com. You can get the Serve First absolutely free, and I'll never know you were there. Just go to getjimpalmer.com, www.getjimpalmer.com/serve-first, and that will take you there. And if you just go to getjimpalmer.com, you'll see the Serve First banner pretty much near the top of the page. You click that, and there you go. And the final website, we're still giving away free copies of my book, Decide. And the URL for that is decideforsuccessbook.com, decideforsuccessbook.com. And the only thing we'll ask is that you pay $6.95 for shipping and handling. We will ship it internationally. I think we shipped one the other day to Newfoundland or somewhere. It costs like $22, but it's okay. It's $6.95. And I will mail you this book. It's a real paperback book that will absolutely change your life.
So in closing, what would you like to leave with listeners all over the world, Jim?
First, I'll give you 2 things. Serve first. So whether you're an entrepreneur or you're just Joe Average, Mr. and Mrs. Joe Average, serve first. We are on this planet to serve others. And God says, when you take care of those less fortunate than others, I'll take care of you. And the other thing is, if you are a small business owner or an entrepreneur, I want to tell you this, you will earn significantly more revenue for who you are than what you do. And what that means, it's not about the deliverable. It's not about what you do for a living. It's about who you are, because the branding and the positioning, this is all stuff I teach at Dream Biz Academy, the branding and positioning that we create for you is going to attract a lot more of the right people to you.
Wow, very powerful. Jim Palmer, you are a gift from God to the world. And I just want to say thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Constance. And I cannot wait to give you a big hug and a blanket.
Right. But once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And as I say every week, you know, God loves you. And I'm crazy about you. And let's say it together. 2016 is the best year of my life. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance Arnold will be back next week with another great show just for you. For more information, please visit fulfillingyourpurpose.com.